on News Radio WFLA.
Ryan Gorman here with Dana McKay and James Berlander. And now let's go to the hotline and bring in our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. Again, that's daytradefund.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you. And let's go back to late last week. There was some new data on inflation that came out. And look, it remains sticky, I guess is the word to describe it. And it seems like that's not going to change anytime soon. That 2% target, it's going to take a bit to get there.
You know, and we talked about in early January and February, or in those months, about the inflationary numbers that came out. And in January, we were told, okay, they're a little hotter than expected, but look, 1 month does not make a trend. Well, then we had the same thing in February, where they were a little higher than what they were expected to be. So it really made the report that we had last week that much more of a focus, because it was going to be the month that was going to reverse that course, where we were going to see stronger numbers, where we could start to see inflation start to drift off a bit. But we had, again, for the third straight month, above average or above expectations, really, as far as that inflation data. And it really, you know, gets us to the point now where we're looking from a narrative that says, okay, when is the next rate cut going to be versus if for 2024? And that's really a situation, because the thought is, now that we've had 3 months of this, is it something that's going to continue? And that's something that right now has a lot of people on Wall Street worried. And, you know, we've seen the market respond a small bit to that, nothing as far as any significance. Even when the market was down 600, 700 points last week, that was 2%. And as you and I have talked about, from a percentage standpoint, that's not much. It seems like a lot when you're dealing with the market, but when you're at, you know, 37, 38,000, yeah, those kind of numbers, you always want to look at the percentage.
It really does feel analogous to when you're trying to lose weight. You get to a certain point and you plateau. The weight just won't come off anymore. And typically, you could just continue doing what you're doing and hope that things change, and eventually the weight does start to come off. And sometimes you have to make some changes. And I guess that's what we're kind of watching the Federal Reserve for. Do they just stay the course? And, you know, they're not going to cut interest rates anytime soon, but do they just keep them where they're at? Do they start to look at potentially a rate hike if inflation stays where it is? I guess that's kind of the big question right now, isn't it?
It is. And when you look at I think probably the thing that caught me off guard last week more than anything was that inflation-adjusted GDP that grew at an annualized rate of 1.6. I mean, obviously, we were looking at much more at 2.2 and higher from a growth standpoint. That was something we did not expect. And if that kind of information causes the Fed to get a little bit concerned, well then now we're at a point where, yeah, we're not going to see a May interest rate cut. In fact, I think even in June, it's fallen to a probability of like 13%. In January, we thought it was 100% certain, or at least 70% certain. It's been down from that. But if those numbers start to impact the potion, so to speak, I don't see at all that the Fed would hesitate for a moment to raise initially the interest rate hikes from where we've got them at now, increase the rates if they feel like it's needed, to just make sure that they continue to stay ahead of inflation. They have done everything that they said they're going to be doing for all these years. And from the analysis part of it, most of the calls they've made have been right on. And the thought is now they're certainly not going to let this inflation get away from them. So the thought is, if they need to increase the interest rate hikes, I don't think Jerome Powell would hesitate for a moment to do so. I don't think we can sit back and say, okay, we're going to be on pause mode for the time being, because look, we've got the jobs report for April coming out Friday. We've got some other information we're going to be looking at this month. And as we roll into the month of May, there's going to be a lot of inflationary data there that, yeah, isn't going to impact us in May or June, but it's certainly going to I think set the tone for what the rest of the year is going to be. So there's a lot of things here that we would like to look at with a high degree of optimism. Brian, we really can't at this point, because right now we just don't have anything that is needed. And that's why we're looking at economists on Friday expecting, I think, 205,000 jobs added in April. That was the latest estimate I saw. But they really need a rallying cry here. So a lot of people are hoping that report comes out with a lot of good news from a surprise standpoint, because right now the only surprises we've received over the last 10 days have been not so good ones.
Yeah, Dana, it's kind of like where we're at right now with interest rates and with inflation. It's kind of like there was a diet that I did one time where when you plateau, I was told just eat 6 apples for one day, and it kind of restarts things. And so
okay.
like that's what maybe Jerome Powell says, you know what, one more interest rate hike and that'll kind of kickstart the drop in inflation.
Did you do it? Did it work?
I did. I don't remember it working. No. So hopefully, whatever Jerome Powell has planned is better.
What the size of the apples were, Dana. Yeah. So.
We're joined by our air travel and market expert, Jay Ratliff. Now you can find him online at daytradefund.com. Jay, let's talk about Southwest Airlines and switch to an aviation story. Notable here in the Tampa Bay area, they made an announcement late last week that is going to impact flyers out of Tampa. They're doing away with one of their nonstop routes. And this is all, correct me if I'm wrong, tied to these Boeing issues.
It is. And also in tied into the fact that they reported last week a $231 million first quarter loss.
Yeah.
For a company that's used to making a lot of money, that's not the norm. And they're going to be ushering in some immediate changes. First one is they're going to have a freezing hire, where they're not going to be hiring pilots, flight attendants, any of the people they planned on. And you're right. Much of that has to do with the fact they're not getting the Boeing aircraft they expected. And they're also, as you indicated, the reduction in service to some cities. They're leaving 4 cities entirely. Cozumel, Syracuse, I think Bellingham, Washington. And the one that was a surprise for a lot of people was the George Bush Intercontinental Airport in Houston, where they're going to leave that entirely. Of course, the bulk of their operation in Houston is obviously over at Hobby. But look, they're cutting half their flights in Atlanta, a third of their flights in Chicago, as far as Chicago's O'Hare Airport, not Midway. But the big key for me was they're going to end the year with 2,000 fewer employees. Now, you and I have talked about over the years, Southwest has never, ever, ever, ever laid off a single employee, ever. And when the pandemic hit, the thought was, okay, that 50-year streak is over, and they found 20% of their employees that were willing to take an early retirement so they didn't have to lay anyone off. So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to see. But the big news for me was they announced that, look, we may be changing our seating process,
yeah,
which to me I think is long overdue, going to more of a seat assignment type of thing. And I think that would obviously take care of all the wheelchair issues we've talked about over the years, as far as people boarding with a wheelchair but not needing it on the other end. Because with it being open seating, by the time most of the general boarding begins, 40% of the seats on the airplane have already been taken up. And I think Southwest could make money by having a pre-assigned seat process, because then they could start charging for, you know, those premium seats, the aisle seats, and
yeah,
the window seats. And plus, it would prevent people from pushing to get on an airplane. But remember, Southwest has a situation where you can pay to get into an earlier boarding pod or category, and they would just have to make sure that one offsets the other. And I do believe they can make a tremendous amount of money by going to assigned seating, and I think that could be a reality in the very near future.
The one benefit of assigned seating, and I don't know if you've experienced this on a Southwest flight, but because it's that open seating policy, once you're seated, have you ever been sitting there thinking, please don't sit next to me, please? You know, you're judging every person that comes on the plane.
I'm sorry, I'm holding it for my husband.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
a lavatory,
yeah. Please don't sit next to me. Or as you're as you're coming on the plane, you're looking like, ooh, who do I want to sit next
that's
to?
Right.
Or somebody that's boarding that you think that to as well.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And that concern. But look, in the old days, the purity of what they did was perfect. If you boarded first or you checked in first, you boarded first. If you checked in last, where you're the possibility of delaying a flight, your butt sat in whatever seat was left.
Right.
But over the years, they've really polluted that by, okay, frequent flyers board here, and this zone boards here, and Southwest, because it's open seating, has never been an airline that I flock to, because I prefer the premium type seats, which Southwest may even eventually look at having. Two cabin category where they have a first class and coach, which I think would be wonderful. But you know, Southwest is a great airline. They do so many things right, and I'm certain they're going to come out of this stronger than they went in. But remember, they just gave their pilots and flight attendants very, very lucrative contracts. They're still trying to rebuild that computer system,
yeah,
for the crew scheduling that's, mm-hmm, I don't know, $1 billion or something. So they've gone through a ton of cash here of late. and they're going to have to make changes. And they've made it clear we're going to do whatever it takes. And that may mean a flight that runs full from Tampa to another market that they pull out so they can use that aircraft somewhere else. And I get emails from people saying, Jay, why would they do that with every single flight being full? Well, they may be running it full, but the yield or the profit may be minimal. And if they can run that flight from Dallas to Omaha and make more money per passenger than what they have in Tampa, they're going to do it in a heartbeat because it's all about aircraft and crew utilization. And if they can make more yield in another market, they're going to do so. And you're going to see Southwest adjusting their routes as we move forward a lot more than they've done in the past.
All right. Air travel and market expert Jay Ratliff with us every Monday morning at this time. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. For more, again, that's daytradefund.com.